Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you want to hear more from us, head on over to patreon.com/totalreboot. There you can sign up for just $5 a month to our exclusive Patreon, where you'll get access to bonus episodes of a new podcast called Reboot Riffs. It's a podcast where Cameron and I pitch our ideas for how we think classic films should be rebooted, remade, and reimagined, including Back to the Future and Dracula. So you can head on over to patreon.com/totalreboot to get access to all that and even more for just $5 a month.
Hey, babies. Before we start the show, I just wanted to quickly say I'm doing a one-off encore performance of my stand-up show, Chilled Out, Fired Up, in Sydney on the 20th of August. That's the show that I was touring around earlier in the year. I'm doing one more show of it at the Enmore Theatre Comedy Club because I'm recording a comedy album, and I would love you to come because I goddamn love comedy albums, and most important ingredient of a comedy album is the fucking audience, which would be you. You can Google it, or it's in the show notes right now, so you can just look at it on your phone that you're holding and use the promo code YEAHBABY to get cheaper tickets for you. So that's Yeah Baby, all one word, cheaper tickets, love you to come, bye-bye.
It's my check, the podcast by Mike Myers.
And we're clear. Horny babies, welcome to another episode of Mike Check, season 2, bitch, where we go through the entire works of not only Mike Myers, but the most notable of all SNL alumni. We've been going through a little series called Murphy's Floor. We are going through the films of Eddie Murphy, the brightest star to ever shoot out of SNL's pussy hole. And to find out where he went wrong. Where is that titular Murphy's Floor? My name is Alexi Toliopoulos, and joining me as always is Dr. Cameron James.
MD.
Yeah.
Massive dick. Jesus Christ, we're 30 seconds in. I should be holding off on this goal.
Well, I said pussy hole immediately.
That's true. Once you said that, it opened up the doors to me to say my famously hilarious MD joke.
It's funny you say opened up the doors because Eddie Murphy is a guy that opened the doors for many people.
Who?
I don't know. All those that came after him. Mike Myers, I guess.
Oh, right. People from SNL.
People from SNL.
Oh, yeah. Now, before we dive right into this, I have a question. SNL, what is that?
SNL stands for Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
And it is an iconic comedy program, nay, comedy institution from the United States of America, put together by known Canadian Lorne Michaels.
Lorne, that sounds like sort of, I don't know, somebody's front yard.
Yes, yeah, like, hey, get off of my lawn.
Hey, kids, get off the lawn.
He's my lawn.
Get off the lawn, Michaels. That's me talking to my twin sons.
Michaels.
Both named Michael.
Yeah.
Easier.
One named after Michael Jackson. One named after
Michael Myers.
The most evil villain of all time. So today we're talking about Eddie Murphy's probably second big film.
Sure. It's early in the canon. This guy had yet to really prove whether he can even have a flaw. Mm. At this point, it's like, okay, he bursts out of the gate with 48 Hours. Bona fide movie star.
Yeah.
This guy's got the goods.
He's like 20 years old.
He's 20. That's two decades.
Yeah.
That's how long he's been alive for.
Me? Not long.
I've been alive for 3 decades.
You've been alive for 3 decades, and of course, you've starred in more movies than Eddie Murphy had at that point.
Yeah, obviously.
You're
I
a
have.
Bigger star, but you've had more years.
I've had 10 years.
You've had 10 years
on
the
guy.
So it's impressive what he did then, but sure, it's not that impressive when you compare it to a 30-year-old's achievements.
Yeah, obviously, anyone who's older than you is better than you.
It's true. That's they've had more time on this earth.
They've had more time on this rock that we call planet Earth.
Yes, and some call the third. Rock from the sun. I mean, I guess if you're John Lithgow, that is. But before we're going to do...
So what I was trying to say is that he hadn't really dropped the ball yet.
Yes. And of course, John Lithgow is a bigger star than Eddie Murphy. He's had more time on the earth.
I mean, the guy's in his, dare I say, 70s?
Or something.
Late 60s, early 70s.
He's definitely grey and bald.
Grey, bald, loose skin. That means more successful.
Exactly.
If you look at the oldest cunt alive, they are more famous than Justin Bieber.
I mean, who's the oldest guy alive? Probably like Mel Brooks or something.
Yeah, probably Mel Brooks.
I think Mel Brooks is the oldest.
He's a 2,000-year-old man.
Exactly. He's the oldest man that's ever lived on Earth.
Yeah.
And he's so famous. He's absolutely so famous.
Yeah, he's more famous than, I don't know if I've said this yet, Justin Bieber.
He's more famous than Justin Bieber. He's more famous than Jesus goddamn Christ.
Yeah.
Do you think I go straight to hell that I said Jesus goddamn Christ?
Yeah, you just got a one-way ticket to hell.
Well,
VIP star.
I can't wait to meet John Belushi while I'm down there.
The guy will be partying up a storm. Wish he was in this movie that we're talking about today.
Sadly, it were not meant to be.
Now, the movie we are talking about today stars John Belushi's best friend.
And brother.
Danny Aykroyd.
And James Belushi as well.
We're talking about Trading Places, yep. Which is another big hit for Eddie, directed by John Landis, the man of the freaking decade.
Speaking of Trading Places, would you have trade places between Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi if you could?
Would I trade places with either of those guys?
No, would you get Dan Aykroyd to trade places with John Belushi?
Let's think about what the world could have been like if they had traded places IRL. Well, I mean, for starters, we wouldn't have my favorite brand of vodka.
Crystal Head.
I love that shit.
Yeah. Is it Crystal Head or Crystal Skull?
Who gives a fuck?
I know you literally have a bottle, like the leftover bottle of one, like in my eyesight.
It's not a real
it's
one.
It's a knockoff?
It's a knockoff.
Oh, it's not shaped after Dan Aykroyd's own skull?
Yeah, the Crystal Skull... from Crystal Skull Vodka is modeled on Danny Aykroyd's
that's
own
why.
Cranium.
They're so top heavy. He's got a huge forehead.
He's got a noggin.
Yeah, he's got quite the noggin.
Yeah, if I could get them to trade places, yeah, hell yeah, of course. I want Johnny Belushi running around in this world, making great movies.
Sadly, he did transform into a Slimer ghost.
Yeah.
And that was his final role.
That was his final form.
Anyway, we've got a little bit of news to report on the front of our dear hero, Mike Myers.
That's right. Before we talk about the movie, it's time for our most famous segment on this show. Everyone loves it. It's hilarious. It's cool. It's rocking and rolling. We're talking, of course, about Breckenmeyer news. So hit me with that Breckenmeyer news.
Okay. So Breckenmeyer, if you're not familiar, his name sounds exactly like our segment, Breaking Myers News. So often we do get confused as to which one we are in fact referring to. You have fucked it up.
Well, do you have any Breckenmeyer news?
Well, I guess here's the first thing when I typed Breckenmeyer into news. Then and now, the cast of Clueless 23 years later.
Whoa.
So there's a photo of Breckenmeyer.
Can you believe it's been 23 years?
Yeah. It feels like a movie from the 90s. So then and now, of course, Brittany Murphy stars as Ty Fraser.
Oh.
So that's her then. Now, tragically, she died in 2009 from pneumonia, which is really sad. So why would you write this article? Why would you write this article?
I'm going to run through everyone for you. Brittany Murphy, tragically, we lost her. Paul Rudd, Ant-Man.
Yeah. What's freaking Stacey Dash up to? Oh, she's insane.
Yeah.
Oh, what's freaking Alicia Silver? Oh, she's in the new Diane Keaton movie for 5 seconds. Yeah, nothing to report on this article. It sucks.
What's Breckenmeyer?
Okay, let's see what Breckenmeyer's up to.
Dinner with Ryan Phillippe.
Okay, so Breckenmeyer had a small role as Travis Birkenstock in the movie. He played the pothead skater who fell in love with Ty. Meyer recently had a recurring role. That's Breckenmeyer, by the way. Had a role on ABC's Designated Survivor. Meyer was featured in a number of early 2000s comedies like Rat Race, Road Trip.
That's not where
he is now. He's also done a lot of voiceover work on animated shows like Robot Chicken and King of the Hill.
Again, that's not where he is now. That's where he was then.
So basically, like every week when we do Breckenmeyer news,
there's nothing to report.
It's us saying he was also in Rat Race, Road Trip, and he did Robot Chicken. Voices. Much like this article has stated. But in other news, breaking Myers news.
Here we go.
Mike Myers finally finds a buyer for second Soho apartment. The fifth floor unit at 72 okay. Mercer Street had most recently been on the market for 4 million beans. Canadian comedy legend Mike Myers, the Saturday Night Live alum, famed for Wayne's World and Austin Powers, is in fact in contract to sell his Soho home. The final purchase price isn't yet available, but the fifth floor unit at 72 Mercer Street had most recently been on the market for $4 million. The 2,133-square-foot condo comes with 2 bedrooms, 11-plus-foot ceilings, a gas fireplace, and lots of lights. Myers now lives outside the city with his wife, Kelly, and their 3 kids. The listing brokers were Leonard Steinberg, Hervey Senquia, Amy Medenzabel, and Kelly Sarkresh of Compass.
I think maybe we should get in touch with those...
yeah, with Fanny or whatever brokers. I said those guys' names were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to find out more. What's the skinny on Mike's apartment? What's the way in?
Floors. Are they wood?
Yeah.
Is it lino?
Is there an air vent? An air duct that can fit 2 young men crawling through them?
Do you have a hidden compartment behind a bookcase where you have to pull a book and it moves open like a door and there's a secret room in there? Is there a panic room?
Is there a lair? Does he have a man cave? What's going on?
I want to go...
Do you have a forwarding address for his mail that I can have?
Did you meet him?
What's he like in person?
What's his skin like?
Could you see his wrists? Was his sleeves too long? Does he buy his clothes off the rack? Are they tailored? Second Mike Myers news story. We've got 2 this week.
Whoa.
Stan Mikita, Wayne's World star Mike Myers, pays tribute to the hockey legend. So Stan Mikita, hockey legend, passed away this week. Very, very sadly.
Tragically,
we did lose Stan Mikita. And Stan Mikita, if you're not a fan of hockey, like I am, not a fan of. he was a Toronto Maple Leafs legend, and he was propelled back into pop culture spotlight with the hit 1992 comedy centering the story around the fictional Stan Mikita's Donuts in Aurora, Illinois. That is, of course, Wayne's World, written by Mike Myers.
Seen it.
Yeah. So
sad.
Seen
it heaps of times.
I'll find the words that Mike said, and I'll read them in an impression of him. He was a hockey legend and a gentleman, baby. Meeting him was one of the highlights of my life, Myers said in a statement to USA Today. I was humbled in his presence. I didn't know what to say because I got very starstruck around hockey players. It was a very fascinating, fantastic experience. Freaking hell.
A second.
A dream come true to have Stan Mikita be part of it. Donkey.
So the last one was Shrek.
Yes.
Didn't really sound like Shrek.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that.
You don't know how to do Scottish?
I was too scared to do a Shrek impression.
You're worried you're
way too scared. I don't want to offend our Scottish fans.
Yeah, fair enough. I actually hope they get offended.
Okay, you're edgy.
I like to court controversy.
I'm safe. I like to court niceness. And people like me back.
Well, that's some great Myers news. I mean, I'm very sad that we lost Stan Mikita. He's a great player, great man. I loved his...
loved his donuts.
Donuts, big time.
Loved his donuts.
Obsessed with his donuts. The first one, though, I think is my favorite bit of news because that means we are open to potentially Mike Check Season 3.
Yeah.
We are buying Mike Myers' old house.
Well, it's been sold. He found a buyer.
Oh, well.
That's my reveal. Cameron, I bought my Myers $4 million apartment.
How did you afford that?
Oh, I'm in debt.
Oh, dude.
I took out a loan.
That's
from
a huge
the mafia.
Loan.
The bank wouldn't lend me money.
What the shit? You're in with the mob?
Yeah, I'm in with the mob.
Oh, dude. Are you made?
I've got freaking made.
You got made?
I got freaking made. Okay, dude. Oh, I borrowed $4 million and they said, okay, you've been made. Welcome to the family.
Oh,
like,
my
oh
God.
No. They made me burn a freaking saint in my hands.
You took Omerta?
I took Omerta, dude. I shouldn't even be saying this kind of thing.
Oh, this is wild.
Oh,
stuff.
My gosh.
Oof, Marone.
Oh, gosh. Oh, good golly gosh.
I think it's time that we dive right into Murphy's Law so you can forget all your troubles.
I hope so.
Here we go.
Dan Aykroyd.
This man is physically threatening me.
And Eddie Murphy. Are trading places.
Find out. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I've got a great, great mistake.
It looks just like the dude that had me busted.
It was the jokes. It was the jokes.
You're a dead man, Valentine!
Trading Places, 1983, directed by John Landis. A snobbish investor and a wily street con artist find their positions reversed as part of a bet by two callous millionaires. Had you seen Trading Places before?
Yep. I saw it pretty recently, actually. Probably like
really?
Within the last 5 years.
Mm, oh, okay. Me too, then, I
Maybe
guess.
Maybe like within the last 5 or 15 years.
Yeah, I guess.
So pretty recently.
I've seen it pretty recently. I think I saw it when I was 16 years old.
Yeah, I think I might have seen it sometime in the last 20 to 30 years.
Yeah, definitely. Recently, though. Like within my lifetime.
Recently. Yeah. I had seen it probably in the last couple of years. And I only saw it because of its legacy.
Yeah.
I only saw it because it was one of those ones that people talk about as like an 80s classic.
Classic 80s comedy.
And I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Do you like this movie?
Well, I think I thought I liked this movie. Mm-hmm. I don't think I dislike this movie. I think when this movie is cooking and it's tasting great, it's great. There are moments that are great in this film.
When you pop this movie in the oven and it starts to broil in its own juice.
And you're seeing that crispiness. You're like, that's a bit of Eddie. You're seeing a little bit of bubbling. You're like, hey, maybe that's some Jamie Lee Curtis bubbling over there. Then you get
and
in
then
that
the fat
smell.
Starts to ooze out from underneath and you think, ah, Aykroyd.
this big pasta festival has got a big forehead. It's definitely Dan Aykroyd. And you see, and then you're like smelling that gorgeous gourmet smell coming out of the oven.
And you go,
and like,
Denim Elliot.
Denim Elliot. A little bit of Don Amici is happening over here. Mm. But then when it's like bad, this movie is very, very bad.
While it's cooking, it smells great.
Yeah.
You're excited for the meal.
Yes.
The meal itself is fine, but the leftovers taste like shit.
They're saggy. They're droopy.
It does not keep well in the fridge.
No way. It's papery at best.
It's not good. You know what I reckon's good about it? Mm. Is the first like 40 minutes.
Yeah. First 40 minutes is brilliant.
Yeah. It's a great movie, that first 40 minutes. You know what I think is one of the most heinous things I've ever seen? Probably the last 40 minutes.
Yeah, I don't disagree. There's a good top. It's like you're having a sandwich. The top half of the sandwich is just beautiful gourmet bread.
Yeah. You're using like Helga's if you're a basic beer.
Yeah.
Or if you like to go to your bakeries like Sonoma, it's a nice rye from
it's
Sonoma.
It's a delicious, beautiful top half.
And it's
center,
crispy.
Crispy. Just
it's
delicious.
Soft as a pillow.
It's sweet.
In the middle of
it's salty. It's everything that you could dream of. The texture. It's airy. It's like a cloud.
It's like I'm eating a freaking cloud.
It's like, and I've dreamt of eating a cloud many times.
And then when you woke
then
up,
the middle.
Where was your pillow?
Yeah, exactly. Sadly, I did swallow it. Like a boa constrictor, slowly sliding it down my body, full in one go. Then on the middle, you got some good little food, like you got maybe a salami.
Oh,
and some...
can I say we've got suppressor, spicy suppressor.
It's not top of the range. It's good. It's very, very good. Eddie. Actually, maybe the salami is top end.
It's beautiful suppressor. It's spicy. It's got peppercorns in it. It's Eddie.
Then you've
it's
got...
It's pure Eddie.
It's pure Eddie. It's the best you can get. Then you've got a slice of the finest Devon bologna that has ever lived.
Sure.
Dan Aykroyd's.
Dan Aykroyd, sure.
It's the best Devon in the world.
It's the best of the canned
processed meats. It's absolutely the best of a can of ham that there is.
And then, of course, a beautiful slice of Swiss cheese, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Mm.
Denham Elliott, cos lettuce.
It's good.
Yeah.
Why? Because you got to get lettuce. Then you got a nice flavoring of salt. That's Don Amici and Bellamy, whatever that guy's name is, Ralph Bellamy.
Yeah, some
good little things here and there. Then the bottom, it's someone took a shit and it got hard.
And you go, excuse me, where's the other bit of bread for this sandwich? Because the top bit, it's like a cloud. I don't know if I've said this yet. It's like I'm eating a freaking cloud. But then I grab the bottom of the sandwich with my thumbs, and it's dog shit. Someone's put dog shit here in place
my
of bread.
My hand sunk into dog shit as I picked up the sandwich.
It's not even bread on the bottom now.
I mean, all I could see when I was going to purchase the sandwiches in the window was all the stuff I liked.
Yeah, I didn't
the
realize...
dog shit was hidden underneath.
There's no dog shit on this sandwich.
There's like a corn in here that looks like it's Dan Aykroyd doing blackface.
It's blackened. It's charred.
Okay.
There's a lot in the back end that sucks to the point that I was hesitant to revisit it.
Yeah.
I haven't revisited it since until today.
Yeah.
And it's exactly how I remembered it.
I remembered the infamous gorilla rape scene.
Yeah, which can I say is something that makes me feel furious and angry to my core.
To your damn core. Mm. Maybe we'll just talk about the infamous gorilla rape scene at the top.
Yeah, let's open this podcast with a frank discussion of gorilla rape.
Well, I think we should open the podcast with a segment of Breck and Meyer news. And then talk about Mike Meyer's apartment and then a hockey player dying. Then we get into gorilla rape.
Okay, all right. Well, then let's go back and record all that stuff.
Okay.
Okay, cool. And then now let's dive right into my favorite segment, gorilla rape. Yes or no?
Well, it did happen, so it's a yes, I guess.
It did happen in this movie. So, the spoiler alert for anyone who has not seen Trading Places, the bad guy in this movie...
Clarence Beeks, who is played by Paul Gleason.
Paul Gleason's character. Look, it's not uncommon in a comedy movie for the bad guy to get his comeuppance.
Yeah.
This character...
It is uncommon for the bad guy to get come up himself from a gorilla.
So, the way that this bad guy is punished is that he is dressed in a gorilla costume. There's context for this, but who gives a shit? And locked into a cage with an actual gorilla.
Yeah.
That then...
That does not look like a real gorilla whatsoever.
No, it looks like animatronics.
It looks slightly worse than the costume gorilla almost.
Yeah. And the real gorilla rapes the guy dressed in a gorilla costume for like 48 hours. Straight.
Eddie Murphy, Nick Nolte style, baby. 48 hours.
And that's like kind of the end of the movie. It's like the end tag of the movie.
Is that they get shipped off to Africa together to be reintroduced into the wild.
And then, so he's like stuck in a cage for like 3 weeks or something with this gorilla that keeps raping him.
He gets stuck in there for 28 days. Sandra Bullock style.
It's really, how do you feel about this? How does this make you feel?
Oh, it made me so proud watching that scene happen. Oh, I hate that. It's so bad.
I remembered
how bad the gorilla looks. Like, the gorilla looks awful.
Yeah. I just think there's actually a weird precedent for, the villains being raped by animals in comedy movies.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's
like a sort of weird trope. I'll give you two other examples. One of them is another Eddie Murphy movie.
Yep.
The Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to talk about Dr. Doolittle.
Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps.
Yep.
The bad guy gets raped by a giant hamster.
Oh my God, okay.
And in Ace Ventura 2, When Nature Calls, the bad guy gets raped by gorillas at the end. That's how the movie ends.
Wow.
With the bad guy getting raped by a bunch
of gorillas.
I guess
also Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, Imelda Staunton's character, who plays the evil woman. I can't remember her name.
Dolores Umbridge.
Dolores Umbridge gets taken away by the centaurs. And so maybe they're not 100% animal, they're 50% animal.
Are they going to rape her in that?
Centaurs are famous for that kind of thing.
Raping?
Yes.
I didn't know that, so it can't be that. It makes me I know that it's supposed to be funny.
How can that be funny?
The joke
though?
Is like, look at this guy. He was so evil, and now he's going to suffer the greatest punishment of all time. Like, the greatest thing, the worst thing that could ever happen to a human being is going to happen to this guy for ages. And I guess that's like supposed to be funny. But it just puts the worst taste in my mouth, and I imagine his. It's so sickening. Honestly, it's made me rethink this whole movie.
Yeah, exactly.
The first time I saw it, I was loving it.
Yeah.
Up until the last like 20 minutes when that sort of stuff starts happening. But now on this second rewatch this morning, all I can see is the evilness of this movie and that it is mucky and dirty and gross. It
colours the whole film because also in that back end sequence, we do...
And when you say back end...
I am talking about the famous sequence. Towards the end of the film, there is like all this shit in it, like Dan Aykroyd dressed as Bob Marley.
Yeah,
he does... basically is wearing a denim jacket. He's got long black hair. He does have a Rastafarian hat on.
And what's on his face?
Well, his face and hands are completely painted with black.
Yes.
He's doing a full-on Jamaican accent.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone can get away with it, it's not Dan Aykroyd.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, there's a bunch of shit like that in the background, but let's also not forget that this movie is predicated on two evil white men who just want to toy with people's lives.
Yeah.
It's like, it's actually gross when you watch it now and you realize that the whole movie is just let's really punish these two people. Dan Aykroyd's character, he's like a shithead at the start of the movie. He's like a snobby, annoying asshole, but he's not evil.
He plays Louis Winthrop III. He just plays a snob.
Like a shithead.
He's not good. Because remember, the movie does begin with, doesn't begin with him, but we see him we see him accuse Eddie Murphy's character of stealing his bag.
Yeah, he's like a snobby white shithead. But he's not evil, and yet they spend the whole movie just like destroying his life bit by bit. They make his fiance hate him. They take him out of his house. They lose his job. They turn his friends on him.
Yeah.
His friends, by the way, are already the worst cunts I've ever seen on screen.
It is very much in the tradition of other 80s comedies that we have covered in this season 2 of Mic Check, also directed by John Landis. It's so much like Caddyshack. Well, he didn't do Caddyshack, but you know.
Yeah, yeah. Or even like Animal House.
Slobs were snobs.
The snobs are the ones that are being made fun of here. But in this movie, the snobs like almost win, like in a way. Those two white guys... anyway, whatever. And then there's like so much weird hatred towards black people. Mm. And I know like the joke is on white guys, old white guys who are racist, but it's in there so much that it's fucking weirdly uncomfortable for me.
Yeah, it's such an odd film because I think at its heart, it's trying to be... It has this progressive slant. It has this leftist slant where it is about nature versus nurture and how it is, how it becomes a movie about once you have something, you're afraid to lose it and stuff like that. And so it is about the cultural divide. It is about how...
Class warfare.
It is about how your upbringing can make you a certain way and all your position in life can make you a certain way.
It was also weirdly, for the time too, like anti-Wall Street, which is pretty rare, I guess. Like it's about how corrupt Wall Street is and stock trading. So much so that there's been laws passed since this movie came out that stops people from doing the sort of trading that happens in this movie.
Of course, called Murphy's Law.
It is called the Eddie Murphy Law.
Yeah, is it actually? Yeah, it is. Oh my God, really?
Like it was named after this movie.
Wow, that's so weird.
So it's like cool that you're watching this pretty lefty movie that's like anti-corporate greed, blah, blah, blah. But...
It's grubby.
Like it's gross. It's like this weirdly cynical, evil movie. I can't get on board with it.
Yeah, it's such a grubby movie. I it's hard to enjoy when it's not about Eddie Murphy as well. Yeah. Because the whole thing about the movie is it's about trading places. Yeah. We see these two...
The movie's called Trading Places.
Yeah, the movie's called Trading Places. Look it up online.
And the two characters perform the titular Trading Places.
Yes. So the Dukes, who are Ralph Bellamy...
Sorry. Before we move on to that.
Yeah.
When I say titular, I just want to confirm.
Cameron, are you talking about titular, the porno parody?
No, that's what I'm trying to confirm here. I said the word titular in reference to the title of this movie.
Yep.
And I realized as I said it that it sounded very similar to titular.
Titular, who of course is the famous porno character from the parody of Dracula called Titular.
Yes.
And
she has fangs for nipples.
Yeah. And with blood and stuff dripping out of them.
Yeah.
And she's pretty badass.
How can she... She can only be killed... By...
It has to be a man with a wooden dick who has to fuck her in the heart.
Yep.
You have to fuck her in the heart.
So I wasn't trying to evoke that. Yep. I wouldn't even dream of it.
The crazy other thing about Titchell, I don't know if we've talked about on this, is when she transforms into a bat, when she flies away, her wings go like... Fap, 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 fap.
That hasn't been covered.
We haven't talked about that, but that is one of the most notable things about Titular.
It's kind of weird we haven't reviewed Titular.
We should review Titular one day.
Yeah. I love that movie.
It was so important to me growing up.
Yeah, it taught me a thing or two.
It taught me a thing or three, if you ask me. I learned a lot from Titular.
Let's just say when you put that VHS in my VHS player, it goes a bit fuzzy over a few scenes.
Yeah, there's a few things that are pause and have a little bit of VHS rubbing, we call it. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
I did a little rubbing myself. I mean, it's got other
iconic characters like Bang Helsing and stuff like that that we barely talked about.
Yeah, that's true.
Bang Helsing is awesome.
Bang Helsing is cool. There's the Wolfman who not only howls at the moon, he growls at the poon. There's a lot of cool stuff in that movie.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone has their memories of Titular and their stories. You know.
And it's so sad when we did lose her, but it was great to see everyone come together and share.
At the funeral.
Yeah, just at the funeral. We were there. It was televised. Yeah.
Nick Cave sang Into My Arms.
Because he's just a fan of the movie.
He was a big fan.
A
lot of people are big fans. And Titular like opened a lot of doors.
And she had a lot of doors open for her because tragically she did have no hands at the end.
Yeah, I don't really want to get
by
into
Titular 12, she had no hands.
Yeah, it's really
she'd
sad.
Use them all up, people said.
She'd withered them down to nubs.
But it was a star-studded funeral. Tom Sizemore was there. Of course, we knew from Titular 3 and 4 he was in those.
Yeah. And a great performance by him.
Yeah, in those movies and at the funeral.
And at the funeral.
He did a monologue.
They didn't have eulogies. They had a monologue.
Yeah, they got a lot of the best stars that knew Titular.
Yeah, Joshua Jackson from Dawson's Creek was there, currently on The Affair, which you should all be watching.
It's a great show. You should be watching The Affair. Teacher would have loved it.
Yeah, he was a fan, I think. And he had some nice things to say and do, and he did them.
He did a lot. He got his start in the Titular films.
Yeah, he did. I mean,
he played son of Titular.
Dickular.
Yeah, Dickular.
Yeah.
He's actually got a fang for a dick, surprisingly.
Anyway, that's not what I was trying to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
I was saying titular as in the title characters of
Trading Places.
Of the film Trading Places.
Yeah, you're talking about the titular moment where they trade places.
Yes.
So they do trade places. We've got Dan Aykroyd, top of the world. He's next in line to be a rich guy. Very rich guy.
This guy is so rich. He has a freaking butler.
Yeah, played by Denham Elliott, who is Indiana Jones' best friend.
He has a... This is how rich this guy is. He has a fiance named Penelope. Only rich people can date someone named Penelope.
Yes. I dated a marionette called Penelope for many years.
Really?
Yes, from Thunderbirds.
Excellent. Great.
But he's rich. He lives in a mansion in Philadelphia.
Yeah. One of those famous Philly mansions.
Yeah. I think the setting in this film is lovely.
I think Philly is awesome. It looks great in this movie. It's very cool.
Yeah.
And the opening sequence where it really does set up the differences in class in this city.
It sets up this beautiful working class thing. It sets up all the kind of, not Wall Street, but the banking scene there as well. Because Philadelphia is a beautiful city. It's one of the first cities in America. So all the architecture is stunning and old and beautiful. Oh, yeah. And then it's also demonstrates the class divide there.
Mm.
And it's like every John Landis movie begins with a stunning montage establishing the city we're in.
Mm.
Just like... Blues Brothers did with Chicago.
That's true. And then, obviously, Eddie Murphy, he's in it as a homeless young gentleman. A young con man who hides behind various characters in order to get money on the street. One of which is a Vietnam veteran.
Yes.
Blind and...
No legs.
No legs.
And much how Titchler had no hands.
And then they have to trade places.
Yeah.
That's the movie.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. That's the movie. Congratulations.
Yeah. Now, let me say something I liked about this movie is when they traded places.
It's fascinating.
Finally, when they finally got to trade places, Eddie's bits were awesome.
Yeah, because it's more entertaining to see Eddie go to the upper class world. Because you're seeing, I thought it was very funny, every room that he goes into, he's stealing stuff from the room.
That was my
pockets.
Favorite sequence of the movie, is that he keeps thinking that it's a practical joke. And so he is putting things in his pockets
and
everywhere
he's listening
he
to them and going on with them.
Yeah,
but then
he's also not listening to them.
He's just stealing everything that he's
really
inside.
Funny scene.
Very, very funny.
I actually could have watched a whole movie of just that premise without the Dan Aykroyd story.
Yeah, just people talking at Eddie Murphy. He's not listening to them. He's not blinking. He's taking everything, not breaking eye contact with them.
Like, I reckon it would be a better movie if it's just there's this poor street urchin played by Edward Murphy.
Yes, and so like a Mr. Deeds scenario.
Mr. Deeds or like Brewster's Millions.
Yeah.
And these rich guys as a bet or whatever go, I bet we couldn't make that guy a successful banker.
Yeah.
And then we just watch him enter this upper class world and prove himself and then outsmart the old white guys.
Mm.
And then by the end of the movie, he finds a good middle ground between rich and poor and he learns his lesson and blah, blah, blah. I don't even really care about watching Dan Aykroyd's downward spiral from snob to slob.
There's some funny moments, but for the most part, it's not... I don't know. It's just not as entertaining because we are in that area of comedic juxtaposition between these two people.
Balance-wise, I get it. It makes sense. But there's something about it just felt too sad for me.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Please. I pray you ask. I've been dreaming of the day you'd ask me a question.
Okay. Well, it's my pleasure to interview you today, by the way. I'm so excited.
Thanks.
But it is a point that we have not done a Dan Aykroyd podcast yet.
Yeah.
We did talk about Blues Brothers. We didn't talk about Dan Aykroyd on it, to my memory.
No, I think so.
I hate to... I don't know how to say this without sounding offensive. Is Dan Aykroyd funny? It's hard to say. You can't say no.
You can't say he's not funny because the guy is behind classics. He's behind Ghostbusters. He's behind Blues Brothers. He's behind Celtic Pride, the movie that he wrote and starred in with Daniel Stern, directed by Judd Apatow.
Never heard of this movie. Yeah. He's behind Nothing But Trouble.
He directed that one. Which he did direct and which is the ugliest film ever committed to celluloid.
He created Soul Man, a show that I'm not familiar with.
But I'm obsessed with. It's, I think on SNL, Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
He was funny.
He coined the phrase, Jan, you ignorant slut.
Yeah, very funny stuff.
Yes.
He could play straight man. He could play authority figure. He could play wacky lunatic. I mean, he's one of the wild and crazy guys.
Yeah.
And he's also the freaking Weekend Update, you know, point counterpoint guy with, yeah, with freaking
Jan.
You know, Jan, yeah. And it's like, the guy had the talent. He was kind of like the Phil Hartman of the original Not Ready for Primetime players. But in movies, do I give a single solitary flying toss about watching this guy on screen? No.
Yeah.
I don't think he's watchable on screen.
Oh, watchable. I don't know. He's just not exciting on in films.
You know who would have been... You know, this is a wild one.
Crazy guy.
I would have liked to see Steve Martin play the other character. Exactly. That would have been funnier. And I was going to say before you said one crazy guy, I would have liked to see John Lithgow play the other character.
Mm, yes.
Just anyone. I think, but Steve Martin would have been perfect foil opposite Eddie Murphy in this.
I think so. I think they, did they ever do anything together?
No. Eddie Murphy was...
Bowfinger.
Bowfinger, yeah, true. Yeah. One of the greats.
Yeah, one of the great movies.
One of the great Frank Oz movies, which I can't find anywhere, by the way.
Oh, really?
It's not available, I don't think, anywhere.
Anyway. Frank Oz is in this movie. Maybe we should have asked him while watching it.
We watched it. I think I would have preferred a Steve Martin version. It would have been way more enjoyable to watch. He can play snob in a way that we are already laughing at him when he's being a prick. Whereas Dan Aykroyd, he's quite a good actor.
Mm.
But that doesn't mean he's funny doing
this. Yeah, he's a good actor.
Like, and I'm watching him, I'm like, I hate him. I hate this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, I'm supposed to, but I'm also supposed to like him and care
about
him. And
when he's on the downtrod, you're meant to kind of start feeling for him. But it's hard to feel for him.
I didn't, because he went too dark too quick and too evil almost straight away.
I did think it was funny when he dressed up as Santa Claus and, like, took everyone hostage. And I think one of the... I don't know if this moment was funny, but it's a moment I liked, is when he steals, like, a giant piece of smoked salmon from the banquet that he tries to take hostage, and he's eating it on the train or the bus. I can't remember what public transport it is. And he's eating it through the beard, and he's mainly eating this shitty Santa Claus beard instead of the salmon.
Yeah.
There was something about that was like, that's a funny choice.
It's funny. The guy's, we have to say he's funny.
You can't not say he's funny.
But I think he's obsessed with ugliness in a way that I don't click with, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Nothing But Trouble. Have you ever seen Nothing But Trouble?
I have views.
It is hideous. It's so gross.
Doesn't he have a penis nose in the movie?
Yeah, the character that he plays, his nose looks like exactly like a dick.
I've seen pictures of Nothing But Trouble, but I'm too scared to watch it.
It's just, like, ugly. He loves this, like, grotesquery, which is kind of like, you know, a lot of people do. Sacha Baron Cohen also is, like, a grotesque clown. But I don't know. There's something about him that's, like, likeable, but I think Dan Aykroyd just doesn't quite have that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say, because we will have to uncover some Dan Aykroyd stuff, I think. We will have to talk some Dan Aykroyd films.
I'm dreading it.
We will. We got to watch Soul Man. We got to watch Nothing But Trouble.
I'm not ready for it.
Oh, I don't know. He's an icon, and his influence on comedy is undoubtable. And his love, the love that people had for him in this era is undoubtable. But I don't know. What else did you like about this movie?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
She's one of the best.
She's great.
Ever.
I really like her. She's awesome. She's a great actor. I like her in anything. And this was kind of a weird one for her, I think, because I don't think she'd done many comedies up to this point.
This is pre-Wanda.
Yeah, yeah. So she was kind of mostly known for the Scream Queen stuff she did in the 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of dramas, I guess. But this is like her first kind of comedy role. And I think it sets the tone of what she will later do with A Fish Called Wanda, where she is the, like, I guess the comedy femme fatale. She's like smarter than everybody, and she can hold her own. She can match wits.
Yeah, and she's great at using her sexual charisma for manipulation of stupid men.
Yes.
And I think that is really fun in this movie. It's even better in A Fish Called Wanda.
It's way better in A Fish Called Wanda is a better movie.
A Fish Called Wanda is like one of the true five-star movies in cinema, in my opinion.
It stars your favorite actor of all time.
Yeah.
Mr. Kevin Klein.
Thank you. Kevin Klein is the only actor that I think I like more than Mike Myers.
Yeah.
I'd probably say my favorite actors right now, Kevin Klein, Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy. Probably my three favorite actors.
Really?
Yeah. They should have got Kevin Klein in a Shrek movie. I'd be fucking eating shit all day.
Kevin Klein won... I can't believe he won an Oscar for that movie.
Well, he's amazing. He's so funny.
It's so good. But when does that happen? When does that
ever
happen?
Well, it happened two times for this movie, the BAFTAs, this year.
Mm.
One won by Jamie Lee Curtis, Best Supporting Actress, for Trading Places.
Wow, okay.
BAFTAs also awarded Best Supporting Actor to Denham Elliott for this film, Trading Places.
He won a BAFTA.
He won a BAFTA, the British Academy of Film Award.
He's good.
He's nothing.
But he's barely in this movie.
Like, I don't know why. I can't see. Was it a year where there were no supporting roles in films?
How come Eddie Murphy never won an Oscar? I mean, the guy is so fucking good.
I think we will have to cover that later on because I think there is a definitive answer to why Eddie Murphy never won an Oscar.
I know what you're going to say. And yeah, I guess we will get to that later on. But I mean, even for his earlier stuff, how come he was never even in the conversation? Do people just think he was too base?
I think
base
comedy,
too...
comedy you, there's no, very, very little respect for comedy. I mean, Kevin Klein is one of the few actors that won an Oscar for a broad... Yeah. Out there comedic performance. Who else is there?
I mean, Melissa McCarthy was nominated.
Yeah, for Bridesmaids. Did not win.
Yeah.
There's very few.
I would say probably funniest Oscar winning performance out there, Heath Ledger as the Joker.
I mean, he's a professional comedian
the guy
in the
is
movie.
A comedian.
The guy is funny.
He's a clown. You see him up there on screen, you're cacking it up big
yeah,
time.
He's funny as shit.
The guy
he's
has
making
so
those
many
little
funny
Vine vids of the guy dangling upside
so
down.
So funny, so good. Joker was the first Vine star.
He was, definitely.
I love it when he makes that pencil disappear. Where
great.
Does it go?
It's like, where does it even go?
Where does
what
it go?
Trick.
And what's that guy doing on the ground? Get what? Up.
Get up, man. Have
enjoy
a laugh.
Enjoy the trip.
You're part of the joke.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And then it's kind of, that's it. Like, you know, I think Sacha Baron Cohen should have won for Borat. I don't know what was happening that year where I don't think he was nominated. He was nominated for Best Screenplay.
Yeah, sure.
It just, they never get the recognition.
Comedy gets no respect, in the words of the greatest comedian of all time. Robin Williams.
Who famously
who did
stole
an impression
a joke.
Of...
he stole a joke from
Rodney Dangerfield.
From Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, and did an impression of him. And yeah. It was better than the original.
That's his charm, man. He could do it.
Robin had those twinkly eyes, man. Robin, I mean, Eddie Murphy is like popping in this movie.
Yeah.
He's
so
good.
So funny.
How old would he have been? Like 23, 24, something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, around that. He'd be like 20 years old. He was so young.
Yeah, he rules. He's great. I wish the movie was just all him. I wish there was no Dan in it. And I wish there was no gorilla rape in it.
I know.
Then I would be able to get on board with everyone and say this is a classic.
If it was just Arthur with Eddie
yes,
as Arthur.
Yes, please. That's all I want.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Can we just remake Arthur but fuck Dudley Moore off?
And fuck Russell Brand off, please?
Yeah, and get Eddie Murphy in both the original and the fucking remake of Arthur.
Have you ever seen Bruce's Millions?
Is that with Richard Pryor?
Yeah, the late great.
Yeah.
Richard Pryor. It's the same sort of thing. He's like a poor guy who then gets... He has like a day to spend...
Yeah.
$5 million or something like that. And then he will inherit a greater sum of money.
Yeah.
I just want to watch that. Like an average Eddie Murphy, poor guy who then all of a sudden becomes a millionaire.
Yeah.
And has to deal with being in this world now. Because I kind of liked those sequences where his personality starts to change.
Mm.
And you see him, like, at first he's really lavish with his money and he's showing off.
Yeah.
And then he has a party and he's, like...
Gets sick of
gets
it.
Gets pissed at everybody, like, disrespecting his new house.
Yeah, exactly.
That he's only had for, like, a day.
Yeah.
I love... Like, all that stuff would be great over a 90-minute movie.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Who gives a shit?
Not me, really, to be honest.
I am glad that I rewatched this movie, though, because I think the good does outweigh the bad, but that bad is heavy shit. Like, there's enough good stuff in this movie for it to be worth watching, but that last half hour is horrendous.
Last time I watched it, I got so angry that I, like, wanted to post about it online.
Yeah.
And then I read there's already a lot of think pieces and articles out there that are like, this movie is fucking vile.
Yeah.
And the last half hour of this movie totally undoes the first 90 minutes of it. Like, it's people it's already think this.
It's a two-hour comedy as well.
Yeah, it's too long. But comedy should be 6 seconds.
Yeah, like Vines.
Comedy should be Vine-like.
That's why Logan Paul is the funniest cunt that ever lived.
Oh, my God. Let's remake Trading Places with Logan Paul.
And Logan Paul in blackface.
That would be awesome.
That would be it.
And we set it in the Suicide Forest, and it fucking goes off.
Well, that's
it goes the, fucking viral.
It would go absolutely viral. It's vile stuff, if you ask me. I think that wraps up our conversation. Is this one of Murphy's flaws, or is this part of his ascension?
I think it's part of his ascension. He has nothing to do with why this movie is a flaw, but I don't like this movie. And everything I just said about how I want to see Eddie Murphy being rich, I just realized we're going to get in the next movie that we're talking about, which is, I'm not going to spoil how I feel about it, but fuck it. Yeah, I am. It's better.
It's a much better movie, in my opinion, as well. Mm. We're going to be talking about Coming to America next week, which is a later part in Eddie's career where he's kind of responding to a lot of criticisms to his first post-career, where he's not as hot-headed. Mm. He is playing a romantic lead in a romantic comedy, and it is less about him being brash and more about the movie as a whole, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's one of the times where it truly feels like Eddie Murphy is collaborating with people in the film.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking about it.
Me too. I cannot wait. So join us next week back here on Mic Check Season 2, Murphy's Flaw, for another episode about Coming to America, directed by John Landis once again.
Hey, babies, before you go, next Monday, August 20, I'm going to be doing my show again at the Enmore Theatre. Tickets are selling pretty quick, but I'd love you guys to get in. I've set up a little discount code for Horny Babies.
Oh, baby, what is it?
If you go onto the website and click purchase, and then use the code YEAHBABY, all one word, you'll get 2-for-1 tickets.
Hell
bring
yeah.
Bring a buddy. I'm recording it for an album so you can come and laugh with your buddy, and everything will be so good.
Laugh
and
with your buddy, everything will be so good.
That's my catchphrase.
Thank you for joining us, guys. If you liked what you heard, give us 5 stars on iTunes, and in your review, let us know what you'd like our next super specific actor-based spin-off podcast to be. For example, it could be Cruise Control, where we talk about Tom Cruise's control on his films, which is one that we almost did instead of Mic Check Season 2. We'll see you soon, babies. Bye.
Bye. It's Mic Check. It's Mic Check. The podcast by Mike Myers.
And we're clear. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.